We'll talk about it right here on the scoreboard. So I talked a little bit about it just in that intro. We are going to be doing a lot of previewing for this upcoming weekend. Now, we do have some baseball going on in the local high school scene, and I want to talk a little bit more about what's going on in the women's soccer land. There's some schools in this area that are ranked very highly nationally in the women's soccer world. So we're going to get on top of that, let you know who to look out for. Actually, earlier in the year, there was a very big game against two teams who are ranked in the top five nationally here in North Carolina. So we are going to get to high school baseball and high school women's soccer today. Those are the two sports that we're going to be focusing on in the first couple of segments of the show. Also, we're going to get into the NBA playoffs. The play-in ends today, thank goodness. I will continue to shout it until I lose my voice. The NBA play-in tournament is terrible for the NBA. It made the regular season absolutely pointless, and only five teams in each conference don't make the playoffs. Wow. Thanks for making a league where everybody has to try really hard to make the playoffs. Good job, NBA. You really made it tough on them. Anyway, we're not going to be salty about that. We have playoff games coming up on Saturday. That's tomorrow, all day. We got all day NASCAR. We got all day basketball, all day hockey. Baseball, if you want basketball. Baseball. Sunday, we got MLS. Whew. What a weekend it's going to be. 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Anything you want to talk about. Also, by the way, there have been some changes in the NCAA when it comes to college football. We're going to talk about a couple of those changes as well. Well, you know what? Let's just start off with that, because the two big ones right now are already being reported. Helmet communication has been approved in the FBS, as well as a 2-minute timeout at the end of each half. Just like the NFL, the old 2-minute warning is now making its way into college football. Those are the two big updates that we have for you. By the way, remember that Michigan story that we talked about how they were recruiting people when they shouldn't have been recruiting, and there was an investigation, and oh man, Harbaugh's going to be in trouble. Well, the ruling came down already, and nobody really cared. Because it's in the past, Harbaugh's gone, it's a new era now. So there are some penalties that go to Michigan, but they're not significant, they're just on probation, which is a slap in the wrist if you ask me. But we'll see what happens with Michigan. They don't really care anymore because Harbaugh's gone. They're going to be doing a whole new thing over there. And there's still the other investigation with the sign stealing going on. This one, the first one, was for recruiting violations during a dead period during COVID. The other one is for Connor Stallions, if we remember that name, being on the sideline of another team and scouting for Michigan, which you cannot do. And we'll talk about if there's anything that's going to come from that as well as we get the information. But those two changes, the automatic timeout with 2 minutes left in the second and fourth quarter, which is the 2-minute warning. The timeouts will not be television timeouts, and all timing rules will be synchronized, including 10-second runoffs and stopping the clock when a first down is gained in bounds. The new rules will allow conferences to use collaborative replay review. Also, horse collar tackles within the tackle box will result in a 15-yard penalty. Previously, no fouls had been called for such tackles within the tackle box, which seems like a pretty obvious change to make, if you ask me. So that's your quick update in college football. We have a 2-minute warning, and there is now helmet communication, which, I mean, it's becoming a professional league, so you might as well mimic what the NFL does, right? Yeah, we've talked about this. Anyway, let's get to something that is definitely not professional, and that is high school sports. The high school baseball scene continuing on with Lake Norman taking on Hickory Ridge. You have Mooresville Baseball taking on South Iredell. It's the second game on a home-and-home. Statesville High School in North Iredell, a little rivalry game there taking place, and West Iredell taking on Ford. So everybody is in action tonight of the five schools that we talk about every single day. Now, these teams in the area are, they could be better. I don't know if we're going to see anybody from this area in the playoffs of those teams that we talk about. Now, when you look at the state rankings, there are really good teams in the area. The thing is, they're just not near us. We have Lincolnton, Charlotte, Asheville a little bit farther away, Waxhaw, Salisbury. So it's just like out of our reach here where all the good baseball teams are. Right now, the top team in high school baseball, according to Max Preps, as always, is Hoggard out in Williamton. Williamton. That's what it is. Wilmington. Couldn't say that right. Man. Out in Wilmington, the Hoggard Vikings, the number one team in the state of North Carolina, that according to Max Prep. So Lake Norman is 500 at 10-10. Mooresville baseball, 4-17. 0-11 for Statesville. 5-9 for North Iredell. 6-9 for West. And South Iredell is the only one with a winning record right now. They sit at 11-7 on a nice two-game winning streak. They get to take on Mooresville again tonight after beating them pretty bad 13-3 a few days earlier. But that is what's going on in the baseball world. I'm continuing to see the trend of the local schools just not having what it takes to get to the playoffs this year. And it is unfortunate. We talked about that run by Lake Norman High School earlier in the year where they won 9 consecutive games. I did not see them backing that 9-game winning streak up with a 6-game losing streak. Hopefully, Lake Norman can get back on track, because if they can bust out a few wins in a row here, 3-4 in a row, I do think that they'll have a chance to make the playoffs once the brackets are all set and everything moves forward. So we're going to move on to high school women's soccer on the other side of the break, but the commercial is approaching us fast, so we do need to get on out of here, hear from our sponsors. But like I said, on the other side of the break, we'll talk some women's soccer, and then we'll start the previewing of the playoffs. Oh, one of the best words in sports. And I'll tell you what, one of the best playoffs, playoff hockey. We'll be back after this.
More of sports director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Big shout out to Pine Lake, my alma mater, number 10 in the state of North Carolina in women's soccer. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Go get a state championship. Do it. Just because you can. 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Get you into the studio. We're going to talk a little bit of high school women's soccer because that is going on right now, and there's a lot of schools in this area that are performing well. So we're not going to waste too much time with this. We're going to get right into it. The number one team in the state of North Carolina right now, Providence Day down in Charlotte, 14-1-1 on the year. Number two is the Ashley Screaming Eagles from Wilmington. Now, they have one tie on their year and one very big win on the year. And it came against Providence Day, the number one team in the state, which is interesting when you look at it because those two teams already went head-to-head. Ashley beat Providence Day, but Providence Day still ranked above. That might be because nationally, Providence Day is the number three team in the country. Yeah, number three. Of all women's soccer, this according to Max Preps, the number three team in the country. And that's right down there in Charlotte, not far from us. Some other schools in the area that are doing pretty well and ranked fairly high in the high school women's scene. Charlotte Latin down in Charlotte, obviously. We talked about it. Pine Lake, number 10 right now, and nationally, number 67, a top 100 ranking there. I love it. Love to see that. Huff High School, number 17 over in Cornelius. And we also have Audra Keld here down there in Charlotte. That's more South Charlotte. Mooresville High School, 10-2 on the year. That puts them 26th in the state of North Carolina. So like I said, there's a lot of schools in this area that are having a good women's soccer year, much better than what's going on in the baseball scene, at least. And it is unfortunate. I love baseball. I don't know about you guys, but seeing the local high school struggle this year, it's tough to watch. Hopefully we see some teams pull it around and get out of the end of the year with some wins under their belt. And who knows, maybe a team or two sneaks into the playoffs. I expect South Iredell in there. Lake Norman, You got to get some wins, and you got to get them now. Start tonight. But for the women's side of soccer, keep winning. That's what you guys have been doing. I don't see why that should change now. So we're going to be keeping our eye on the women's soccer world. Man, so many teams in the area nationally ranked, especially just like in lacrosse, men's lacrosse, we've been talking about it. Everyone in this area seems like they are pretty high up in the state of North Carolina and even nationally. We'll bring that game, lacrosse. We will bring lacrosse back into the conversation next week. Just wanted to give you that women's high school soccer update. Moving on to the National Hockey League. I am determined to turn this place into a hockey area because, well, you should be pretty excited. Your Carolina Hurricanes had a wonderful season. For the third straight year, the Hurricanes had 50 wins. That is a franchise record. They are second best in the NHL this year. So we head to the playoffs, and round one is set. We know the schedule. We know who's going to be taking on who. Starting tomorrow, and the first game is the New York Islanders versus the Carolina Hurricanes. What better way to start playoff hockey than the Carolina team playing the Islanders? That one's going to be at 5 o'clock. Now, I've been talking about this. I do expect Carolina to get past round one, but it is hockey, and anything can happen in hockey. Now, it would be insane if hockey was a one game and out, because then really anything can happen. But even over the course of a 7-game series, things don't normally level out. There is an element of luck that is going to play, and it's better to be lucky than be good, right? Isn't that the saying or something like that? So Carolina, although they're good, they're going to need luck to be on their side throughout these playoffs if they're going to make a run. Got to stay healthy, get all the lucky bounces, clear the front of the net, and you'll move on to the second round. The Islanders had an okay year, and by okay, I mean they kind of snuck their way in at the end of the season there. So we'll see what happens with the Islanders. They are one of the hotter teams in the NHL, I should say, as their last 10 games, they have 8 wins, 1 loss, and 1 tie. So they're coming into the playoffs screaming, but also Carolina 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they have been like that all year. It's not like they're just now going on a win streak and it's probably going to flame out like the Islanders. No, Carolina has proven day after day that they are one of the top teams in the NHL. So the number one team in the East is the New York Rangers. The Rangers will be taking on the Washington Capitals in round one. And Carolina, if they win their series against the Islanders, they would take on the winner of the Rangers and the Capitals. most likely going to be the Rangers, as the Capitals, another one of those teams. They weren't really in contention for most of the year. They got a little bit hot at some point, and they kind of already cooled off. They haven't been playing good hockey in their last few games, and the only reason they won their final game of the year in regulation is because Philadelphia pulled their goaltender with a tie game. We talked about it earlier in the week, why you would do that. Why do you pull your goalie in a tie game? Well, because if Philly wanted to make the playoffs, they were going to have to win the game in regulation. And being tied with no time left in the game, it's not going to get you into the playoffs. So we have game number one for Carolina on Saturday. Game two scheduled for Monday night. Now, the weekday games are all going to start no later than 7 o'clock, or no earlier than 7 o'clock, I should say. So Monday, 7:30, Islanders and the Hurricanes. Then I think they have a nice couple of days off before they play again. It'll be Thursday at 7:30, and then Saturday. So every other day except for Monday to, Monday to Thursday, they have 2 days in between for travel. So they built in an extra day of rest for these teams. A couple of years ago, they were doing one game, one day off, one game, one day off. I like it better. It keeps the momentum going. And, you know, eventually we're going to get to a place where there aren't going to be playoff hockey games all over the place all day long because teams are going to get eliminated. But when it's like this, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be fun. We love the playoffs. I love playoff hockey more than any playoff in pro sports. And there's a lot of things going on in hockey this year, man. We talked about it. 100 assists for Connor McDavid. Only three other players had ever done that. And now this year we get to add two more in McDavid and Nikita Kucherov. Both of those players with 100 points, 100 assists on the year. Never mind their points. They got plenty of those, 144 and 132 points on the year. That's in the, one of them is in the West, one of them is in the East there. Kucherov plays for the Lightning. The only way Carolina would run into that team is if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's when they would probably take on somebody from the Atlantic Conference. It shook out a little bit weird this year with how the playoffs work because of how they do the matchups. It's never going to be the Metro plays the Metro and the Atlantic plays the Atlantic. There is a little bit of crossover, but they try to keep it as straight as possible, which, you know, I think is a good thing to do. The other thing that is going on in hockey has to do with the Arizona Coyotes. It is official. The Coyotes will be relocating to Salt Lake City for the 2024-2025 season. Here's the caveat. It's a really interesting situation that they have going on because, yes, they're relocating, but it's a new franchise with a new name, and the IP, the intellectual property of the Arizona Coyotes is officially being recognized as an inactive franchise. The Coyotes still technically exist. They just don't have a team right now. And we talked about it a little bit when this was getting talked about more and building up steam. Alex Morello, the owner of the Coyotes currently, is going to try to win a land auction in June and build a state-of-the-art stadium for the Coyotes. If he can do that within 5 years, the Arizona Coyotes will come back. They will no longer be an inactive franchise, and they will be an expansion, like an expansion reboot. It's a really interesting situation because of what's going on with the Coyotes going to Utah and how they're doing this. I want to explain it a little bit more after the break before we get into the NBA playoffs and the final NBA play-in games, which are taking place later on tonight. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Scoreboard, and we're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, we are back second half on this Friday. Woo! What a week it's been. We have a new pro franchise to talk about. The Utah... Yeah, that's what they are. The Utah. We don't have a team name yet. But the Arizona Coyotes officially is happening. They are being relocated to Salt Lake City, Utah. And I said I wanted to clean this up a little bit, just so you're understanding what is happening. So the owner of the Utah Jazz right now is getting the Arizona franchise. Technically, this is an expansion team, but it's more like a hybrid expansion slash relocation. Because from what I've heard and from what I've been able to gather, the expansion draft, quote unquote, that Vegas and Seattle had in the last few years, well, the draft for Utah, they just get to draft all of the Arizona Coyotes players, which means Arizona Coyotes don't have any players. The NHL is making that franchise inactive with a chance to come back, and then it'll be the same thing, only flip-flopped. It'll be a franchise that is coming back, and then they'll probably have a expansion draft for the Coyotes. And I'm going to be honest, I would expect for the NHL to try to set them up for success immediately. Kind of like what Vegas had. Although there was nothing specific that the NHL did to help Vegas. The team just made some good decisions and they got good players, good draft picks. Yeah, that's how it went. So we'll see what happens. Now, this is all contingent on the current owner of the Coyotes, Alex Morello, buying some land and winning a land auction just outside of Phoenix. That's coming up later in June. If he wins the land auction, then there are other benchmarks that he'll need to hit, timetables that need to be matched. And 5 years from now, in the 2029... I guess it would be the 2028-2029 season or the 2029-2030 season. One of those two, the Arizona Coyotes would be coming back. I don't know what they're going to call the Utah team. And actually, there is a thought that because this happened so late, that they will just be known as Utah next year. No team name, just the branding Utah, which, okay, I mean, it's probably still a better situation than what was going on in Arizona. They're playing at Arizona State. The Coyotes do not have a home ice. So that's what's going on in the NHL. But we got happier things to talk about. The playoffs start tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Islanders visiting the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm excited. I hope everybody else is as well. Let's move on to another sport that is going to be starting their playoffs here tomorrow. Not before the play-in wraps up. And I will say it again. I said it at the beginning of the show. I'm going to say it again. The play-in tournament is pointless. Adding four extra teams to make the playoffs just washed down the regular season even more to the point where nobody cares about it. The players openly talk about, yeah, we're just going to load manage and take it easy until we get to the playoffs because basically everybody makes it anyway. So tonight, the final play-in games, the Chicago Bulls taking on the Miami Heat, the Sacramento Kings taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. And in that Pelicans game from earlier this week against the Lakers, Zion Williamson dropped 40 points. Do you remember that name, Zion Williamson? He was supposed to be the next big thing. And he was in Duke. He was really good. But he got to the NBA, and it hasn't worked out. But he broke out yet again in the play-in game versus the Lakers, putting up 40 points. The problem is the injuries are still not going away for Zion. He got hurt, and he has been ruled out for this play-in game tonight. That's, you know, you're missing one of your best players in a make-or-break-your-season game. Not great. Not great, if you ask me. But after that, after the play-in games, which, yeah, they're games, Saturday at 1 o'clock starts the NBA playoffs, starting with the Orlando Magic taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Phoenix Suns take on the Minnesota Timberwolves, the 76ers, and the Knicks. That is going to be a good series right there. Some old school basketball rivalries right there with Philadelphia and New York. That's going to be Saturday at 6 o'clock. And then the night game, the Lakers will try to snap their 9-game losing streak against the Denver Nuggets. Now, I talked about it during their play-in game against the Pelicans. Would they try to... not try, but would they allow themselves to lose that game so that when you win the second play-in game, and it's all contingent on that, you don't have to play the pesky Denver Nuggets? Well, they just wanted to win and get in. You never know what's going to happen. So we'll see what the Lakers can do. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, though. I do expect Denver to go on another run because, man, Jokic is just unstoppable. He's one of the best players in the NBA, back-to-back MVPs. We know this. He hasn't had the most spectacular season in the world, but he had a really good season. Then on Sunday, the Boston Celtics are going to play whoever wins between the Bulls and the Heat. You got the Dallas Mavericks taking on the LA Clippers. That is going to be a wonderful series. The Pacers and the Bucks, and then the Oklahoma City Thunder, they get the winner of the Sacramento Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans. And there's a lot of things to keep in mind when it comes to this NBA playoff this year. Starting off with who the hot team all year has been, the Boston Celtics kind of ran away with it this year, but they have been a top team the past, 5 years? It's time to get it done. Win a championship. You know the saying, do it or don't. I'm trying to make it right, but never mind. We're going to move on. So we'll see if the Celtics can continue being that best team in the NBA, what we expect. The New York Knicks as the 2 seed in the East. That is great, but Julius Randle is out for the remainder of the season for them. One of a key contributors to that Knicks team. You got the Lakers. We already know what's going on with the Lakers. Anthony Davis, LeBron James. LeBron starting to make comments more openly about the end is near for LeBron James. Now, I don't think Bronny James, his son, is going to actually go to the NBA next year. Maybe the year after that. And then it'll be LeBron's final year, maybe. But with LeBron and the way he's playing, he's still at the top of his game. Yeah, he's saying the end is near, but guys, I'm sorry, it's just not here yet. Then we'll have to crown a new number one player in the NBA. And I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be Giannis. It's not going to be Luka. Steph Curry's too old for it. Victor Wembanyama. He is going to be the face of the NBA coming up. Wonderful rookie year, and he's just going to keep getting better and better as he gets bigger and stronger and a little bit older. So we'll see what happens, but I expect a good NBA playoff this year. I want to see what the ratings look like when it comes to the NBA versus the NHL, because they always go up against each other when it comes to playoff time. So we'll see what the general U.S. is tuning into. Are they more interested in the NHL or are they more interested in the NBA? Yet to be seen. One more segment on this Friday. We're going to talk NASCAR. We'll talk Charlotte FC. So don't go anywhere. We're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Talk sports with Joe Berg. Call 844-STUDIO-4. It's The Scoreboard on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Hello, welcome. Good to see you guys here tuned into The Scoreboard on this Friday. Man, do we have a weekend for you. Charlotte FC is going to be in action. Yeah, their season's going on. Don't think I've forgotten about Charlotte FC. We love our friends down there at the MLS Club. Now, when you look at the standings, you might say, hey, Charlotte, you're doing pretty good. It's a little deceptive. It's very early in the year, not even double-digit games played. So one win could jump you four spots in the standings. Nothing to take away from that just yet. One thing that we need to keep in mind is the way Charlotte's been playing recently. And this is carryover from the end of last year when we were talking about their push for the playoffs. It started, I think, right after they finished in the quarterfinals at Leagues Cup. All of a sudden, Charlotte FC would either be tied or up one late in the game, and they would have an 85th minute or later goal scored against them constantly. They were unable to hold on to leads. I mean, the final game of the season when they needed to win, they almost blew that one as well in literally the final seconds of the game. They've done it a couple of times again this year, and with a new head coach, things still seem to be more or less the same as they were from last year, but the start of the year is still better. We talked about it when they started their year without a loss in their first few games. That is a record for the club, but not only that, it puts them in a better spot at the beginning of the year. And I am always so big on starting the year good and not playing catch up as you move through the season. Because once you dip below that playoff line and start to fall behind in the standings, it's so hard to recover because you're no longer in control of your own destiny. You need to win and you need help to continue to move back up the standings, which is what we were talking about in the NHL. You know, it was weird because the Flyers started the year really well, but they burned out so bad that they were done. At the end of the year, they weren't able to maintain pace with the teams who were starting to get hot, and they still ended up missing the playoffs. So not only is being good at the beginning of the year important, you got to finish strong as well. So we'll see what Charlotte FC is able to do as they move through the season. Taking on Minnesota right here in Bank of America Stadium down in Charlotte on Sunday. You're going to be able to go to that game if you're interested. 6 o'clock is that one. Also going on Sunday, hopefully going on Sunday, Talladega Super Speedway. Yeah. I am never more happy than when I see that we're going to Talladega. Now, the weather is going to be the story here because I'm looking at it and I'm feeling better than I did yesterday. It's still supposed to rain. So we're still expecting to see a little bit of rain. But the good news about that is it's going to be a little bit earlier in the day. So the rain is expected to stop around 2 o'clock now at this point. Now, it does take a couple of hours to dry the track. And it's Talladega, so there's going to be a lot of wrecks. And it's Talladega, so there are no lights on the track. So if we get a little bit of rain later in the day, like 3 o'clock-ish, we might have a situation where NASCAR just has to race until they can't see anymore. And they've done this plenty of times at plenty of tracks where they don't have lights. And I will continue to say, why doesn't every single track have lights? Why? Why don't they all have lights? It doesn't make sense. You put lights at Martinsville and now you don't even use them. But fine, you tried. Put them at Talladega. I promise you, if you put lights at Talladega, you'll use them again. That won't be the only time you put light, you use the lights at Dega. It's not going to be like Martinsville where the experiment doesn't really go that well. And it makes sense. We were talking with MRN earlier in the year, and they said that Martinsville is one of those tracks where it has to be hot and slick for it to work, especially in the cars that we have now. Got to keep that in mind. Anyway, with us going to Talladega this weekend, here is your weekend schedule. Starting on, starting today, and actually going on right now, if they're able to, should be some Xfinity Series qualifying. But with the weather the way it is, I'm checking in on it now to see if they are doing any qualifying there. But we'll see. I'm not sure right now. I don't have an update on the NASCAR website where they say, hey, here is your top three. You know, if you go to the website across the scroll on the top, it usually has that. I'm not seeing that. So I'm thinking that it's raining at the track right now. There is rain all throughout the day today. But we'll see. So tonight, if we get qualifying in for the Xfinity Series, we'll have that. And then tomorrow, we will have some racing going on. Starting with, at 12:30, the General Tire 200. That is the ARCA Menards Series. And then at 4 o'clock, the AG Pro 300 for the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Sunday is the big show, the Geico 500. You can catch that race right here on WSIC. Coverage beginning at 2 o'clock, and it is presented by MRN this week. That is the Motor Racing Network. We've been hearing from some of the drivers throughout the second half of the week now, and I want to bring in another one of those drivers. Let's hear from William Byron, driver who's had a very good season, won at a Super Speedway already earlier in the year at Daytona when he won the Daytona 500. Here is Byron on his approach at Talladega.
Our drafting has been pretty good, but you never know how much, you know, you don't want your luck to run out in a sense. So you just got to be a good pusher, got to be able to get pushed well, do all the little things right. You know, I think we know in the Cup Series who the good drafters are, and there's a few out there to try to work with and be around, and just try to have a solid weekend. You can't really control the result there, but you can try to get some good stage points and try to be a good drafter and learn, you know, because that race in the playoffs is huge.
Yeah, it is one of the biggest races in the playoffs. Can make or break your season. But as we go to Talladega, he said it. Pushing is going to be a factor. You're going to have to push the guy in front of you. You're going to have to be able to take a push from the guy behind you without wrecking the car. And that's why we have accidents at Daytona and Talladega, because the pushing gets so severe, you get bogged up. There's checkups on the top line and on the bottom line, and you know, it just kind of accordions back, and eventually you can't slow up enough, and there's a big crash. That's how they usually happen at Talladega and Daytona. Now, I'm not expecting a insane four-wide finish like we had that one year. Matt Kenseth won. Tony Stewart was upside down in 3 and 4. 38 cars were wrecked out of turn 4. That was a wonderful race. And it was a playoff race. if you guys remember that one. I think that was the year Brad Keselowski won the championship. Anyway, I don't expect anything that crazy to happen, but I do think we are in for a treat. If Daytona showed us anything, the slight changes that NASCAR made this year has improved a little bit the super speedway racing this year. And I guess now we're calling them draft tracks. It has improved the draft tracks this year. Gotta love the way that they phrase things in NASCAR now. You know, it's like we always say, make it up as they go. They're just making it up as they go along. So that's what's going on in the world of sports. Tune into everything going on this weekend. Before we head out, though, I do want to talk a little bit about what happened on this day in sports history. A couple of years ago, actually 3 years ago, so a little more than a couple, in Las Vegas, Nevada, San Jose Sharks forward Patrick Marleau breaks Gordie Howe's NHL record for the most games played, now at 1768. And also on this day, 1991, Evander Holyfield beats George Foreman in 12 for the heavyweight boxing title. I think we got time to squeeze one more in here. 1956. This one's interesting. The first Major League Baseball game played in New Jersey. Yeah, there isn't a team in New Jersey, but this is the first game ever played in New Jersey. It was between the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies at Roosevelt Stadium in Jersey City, which is interesting because I would have thought the game would have been closer to the Phillies, but it's not. It's right there next to the Hudson, but anyway, Brooklyn Dodgers won that game 5-4 in the first MLB game in New Jersey. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. I appreciate you as always tuning in, your support. Watch the playoffs this weekend. Root for the Hurricanes. Watch the NBA playoffs, Charlotte FC, local high schools. I'll tell you what happened on Monday. Until then, have a great one. See ya.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.